ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद्भागवतम् कण्ठ 3 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 6 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. In the previous verse, Lord Brahma was speaking about pure devotees. And in this verse, he, by contrast, presents the position of ordinary people of this material world. Their shoka and spriha is vipula, which means their lamentation and their desires are very great. And their greed is very great. Therefore, they suffer in this material world. Sometimes we see materialistic people, and we may think, well, they're not doing so bad. Material life it's not very bad. People seem to be fairly happy. Here, Brahma says, their anxiety, lamentation, their desires, their greed, they're all vipula, very great. People are suffering very much in this material world. Their apparent happiness is only a brief respite gap respite means a short time of relief between very great sufferings. I'll explain this word respite as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained it, that there's one kind of punishment for criminals where someone is taken into the middle of a river and put under the water by force and held there for a long time. Then he's pulled up, so his lungs are just bursting, and he breathes in. What a relief. And immediately, boom, straight under again. So this is done several times as one kind of punishment. Someone is suffering so much, wanting air, and feels he's going to drown. So in the same way, material life is intense suffering. But sometimes we come up for air, and then we're thinking, this is right, this is very nice. But before you have time to do anything else, you're again. So in the same way, maybe we may think that our material life is very nice. But it's just a brief respite between intense suffering. Intense suffering at least takes place when one is put in the lower species of life. That is very great suffering. You see, the plants, their consciousness is so much covered over. They're practically unconscious. Or the lower animals, such low consciousness. You see, these dogs are barking all the time. It's just an expression of their suffering. But they are thinking this is very nice. They're thinking, oh, how wonderful, I'm showing how powerful I am. Their pleasure is suffering. Just like this, in the modern age, sex attraction is promoted so much that lusty desire is promoted. Everything is sold by promoting lusty desires. Here in Belgrade, we see everywhere advertisements for Pirelli tires with a picture of a beautiful young woman. Now, what has a car tire got to do with a beautiful young woman? It's just a piece of rubber. It's as asexual as anything could possibly be. I mean, if you pick up a rubber tire, you don't become sexually stimulated. But somehow or other, they're selling rubber tires by If you use this tire, then you'll get some sexual stimulation. So in this way, they're promoting everything like this by cigarettes, Coca-Cola. And if you smoke this cigarette, you'll be a big tough guy, and all the women will come to you. Or use Coca-Cola, and there's some woman with her hair splayed out all over the place like a Rakshasi. You go to the shop and buy Coca-Cola. Thank you. So, where's the Rakshasi? It's only in the advert. In the reklama, yeah. It's only in the reklama. I mean, reklama means they reclaim your money from your pocket. You work like an ass to get the money, and then they take it back from you. So, they're promoting this, that this is something which will make you happy. But actually, these lusty desires, they don't make you happy. It's simply a cause of disturbance. Dushparena analena cha. In Gita, Krishna explains that lusty desires, it's like burning the heart. But in this material world, people are so far away from any real happiness, that they take this stimulation as a kind of happiness. Practically, the whole modern society is based around attempting to satisfy the genitals. But they're not satisfied. People are never satisfied. It's all in the advertisements only. But then you engage in sex life, and what's there? You don't find people dancing in ecstasy in sex life. If by chance you happen to be in the red light area of a city, you don't find that everyone's very happy, and it's a very low vibration. Very degraded vibration. So this is considered the best happiness in the material world. But what is it? It's simply this promoting lusty desires and then fulfilling them. It's just like when you have an itch, you scratch it and you feel some relief. But actually, when you scratch it, it becomes more painful. So happiness in the material world is just like you see somebody scratching themselves. And you're thinking, wow, they must be getting so much relief from their itching. So let me have some itching also, then I can scratch it. They don't know any happiness beyond scratching the itch. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj describes this happiness as tucham, insignificant. Yan maituna adi griha medhi sukham hi tucham. He says that this happiness in the material world begins with sex life, but it is simply insignificant. It's just like scratching your hand. It is a cause of one misery after another. Licit or illicit, it is a cause of suffering. People, you think they will get married and we will live very happily ever after. They tell these fairy stories in which some heroic prince rescues a princess from a dragon, and then they marry and they live happily ever after. This is called a fairy story. It's only in the fairy stories, because no one lives happily ever after. Anyway, they don't live ever after, because they have to die. And anyway, they're not happy either. And you know, it's like they have the fairy story. He rescues the princess from the dragon, then he marries her, and then she runs away with some other guy. And you don't hear that in the fairy story. Actually, in Thailand, the fairy stories are like that. That's Thailand. That's why people fly from all over Europe to Thailand, because there's, a prostitute on every street corner. That's why, main reason Thailand is one of the most popular tourist places. People, they have sex at home. They have their wives and their girlfriends. But they're thinking, let me fly to Thailand and try it out there. But it's the same thing. But they're thinking, well, you know, maybe it's better over there. Just like that story of Hiralakha. There was one prostitute who was considered so beautiful that her fee was 100,000 diamonds. What did you say, Hira?
Diamond.
So there was one poor Brahmin who foolishly fell in love with her. He's very foolish because he didn't have any money. So it's better to fall in love with someone who you can approach rather than not. So anyway, his wife saw he was very morose. Brahmin happened to be a leper also, just to add a little flavor to the story. It means he was very sinful from previous lives. He was probably lusting over prostitutes in previous lives also. But instead of thinking, now I'm a leper, how did I become a leper? I must have done something very sinful. So why don't I act piously? Then I won't have to become a leper again. But he thought, no, I want to enjoy this prostitute. So beautiful. He was married, actually. So his wife was very chaste. He was a lucky guy. And even though he was such a wretch, he had a chaste wife. So his wife saw he was unhappy.
Excuse me.
His wife saw he was unhappy. So as a chaste wife, she was simply thinking how to make her husband happy. This Vedic culture. The wife thinks how to make the husband happy. She's not planning how to have battles with him. Balkan wars at home. But they're trying to satisfy the husband. So the shameless wretch of a husband said, yes, I'm very happy because I want to enjoy that prostitute and I can't. So his wife thought how to satisfy her husband. It's kind of a strange story. But instead of telling him that you're in Maya, you know, I'm already your wife, what's wrong with me? She thought, all right, let me try to satisfy. Let me see that my husband's desire will be satisfied. So she started going to the house of that prostitute and cleaning up the house after the mad rampages every night, making everything neat and tidy, putting some nice flowers, some incense, and serving in so many ways. Her prostitute was looking at her, So after some days, she said, why are you coming to my house and doing this? Do you want some payment? No, you must be doing it for some reason. I'll tell you after some days. So this went on some more days. Prostitute said, you have to tell me. What do you want? You must want something. You're serving so nicely. Must be some reason. So the lady said, yes, there's something I want from you, but I don't think you'll want to give me. She said, well, I mean, you're serving so nicely. Surely there's something I can give you. I'm earning 100,000 diamonds a day, so what I'm sure whatever you want, I can give you. What do you want? Do you want to enjoy with any of the big noble men of the kingdom? I can tell them. They're all under my control. No, not that. I'm a chaste wife. So what do you want? Actually, my husband wants to enjoy with you. So I'm doing this service. I don't have 100,000 diamonds, but I'd be very grateful if you could please him in this way. So the prostitute laughed. He said, all right, call him and let's have a look. I'm booked up for the next 6 months, but we'll fix some date. So then the leper heard about this and he would have his wife told him, and he would have jumped for joy, but he didn't have any toes because he was a leper. So he was marking it on the calendar. Only 120 days to go. Only 119 days to go. And one day, the day came. Now I'm real. I'm going to enjoy like anything. This is going to be the best moment of my life. So he went there to the prostitute's house. She said, you've been waiting such a long time. So I thought I should make it extra special for you. Apart from being expert in sex, I'm also expert in cooking. So I'm going to serve you a nice meal and you can enjoy afterwards. So Brahmin said, sounds good to me. I'm only a poor Brahmin. I don't get much good things to eat. So then she served him a nice feast. So many different preparations. She brought every preparation in a gold pot and served it. And then after serving in the gold pot, she'd bring exactly the same preparation in an iron pot and serve it again. So in this way, the leper became completely full. But he asked, why did you serve exactly the same preparation twice, both in a gold pot and an iron pot? The prostitute said, why do you want to enjoy with me, you rascal? Just the same thing, either your wife or me, it's the same thing. It's the same enjoyment, only you're thinking I have nice hair and silky smooth skin because I use Lux soap. You don't have Lux soap here.
No.
They didn't make it here. They're all over India. One kind of soap that if you use it, your skin becomes silky smooth. But when you rascal, when you're enjoying sex, it's all the same thing. So some realization dawned on the Brahmin. Actually, it's true that this beauty is only imagined in the mind anyway. You know, what is it that makes someone with silky smooth skin be more attractive than someone with rough skin? Why is it that we feel attracted if someone has very nice blonde hair and someone just has some ragged old nasty looking hair? Why is it considered to be more desirable that someone has a very nice balanced figure rather than being skinny like a stick or just like a big sack of potatoes? Why is it considered better? It's just when you engage in sex life, it's all the same thing. It's only imagined in the mind that something is better. Someone thinks, if only I could marry a film star, then, it'd be so wonderful. Actually, there was, for one whole generation, there was one film star who was like, in India, who was the cynosure of everyone's eyes.
The cynosure?
It means everyone was lusting after her. Everyone would go to the film. Prabhupada explained the same thing. He said he remembered in his childhood that among the respectable men in Calcutta, they would bring dancing girls. This idea was introduced by Rabi Tagore, Ravindranath Tagore, that you should have some cultural dance show. But it means all the men go and look at the dancing girls. Oh, how beautiful. So Prabhupada said all the men would be sitting around her just like dogs. And they would think it a great benediction if the dancing girl would smile at them. So like that, they have the cinema stars. So everyone was lusting after this Rekha, that was her name. And then when she was getting a bit past film star age, she was getting in the 30s, and she'd already been used by half the men in Bombay. And finally, one lucky man got to marry her. And within 2 weeks, he committed suicide. So everyone was thinking, ah, oh, the lucky guy. I'm so envious of that guy. I wanted to marry her. And half the population of India were envious of him. That means all the men. But then he found, well, she's just a bitch. So it was so miserable that within 2 weeks he committed suicide. So anyway, the moral of all this is that it's not really any fun. It's this sex life, it is simply advertised as being something wonderful. But if it's actually so wonderful, then why are the people flying from Germany and England to Bangkok? They already got it at home, but they're not satisfied. So saying, let me go there. Maybe the venereal disease is better there than here. Let's try it out. And then they come back and then they try again. But it doesn't satisfy. Tripyanti neha kripana bahudu kabhaja. Prahlad Maharaj just continues. They're kripana. They're misers. They're simply trying to indulge in sexual satisfaction. They're wasting their lives, spoiling their lives. You got the human form of life, it's supposed to be used for Krishna consciousness. But they're simply using it as the animals do. Even the animals, they can enjoy much more. You see, monkeys, they generally go around one male with 30 females. Maybe not 30, but at least 7 or 8. If it's a big, strong monkey, he may have 30. And they have very healthy bodies. They don't have to go to the gymnasium to do exercises. And they don't have to go to a factory to support their wives. They simply they eat some fruits and roots in the jungle. Or they come into people's kitchens and steal chapatis. And in this way, they enjoy sex life. So if you really want to enjoy sex life, why be a human being? It's so difficult. You have to, you know, go through all this trouble of getting married, or at least you have to get money. Back to Thailand, there's one Thai saying, Mi nun, mi pu ying. It means, if you have money, you have a go. If you don't, you don't. Okay. Don't have money, don't have a go. So either married or girlfriend, you have to have money. No lady loves a man with no money. You may flatter her and say, you are just the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. She say, that's very nice. How much money do you have in your pocket? But the monkeys, they don't ask how much money in your pocket because they don't have any pockets. It's simply, okay, let's enjoy. So better be a monkey. Why be a human if you want to enjoy sex life? So by the arrangement of nature, if that's what you're interested in, that's what you'll get. A human life is not meant for that. Human life is meant for living on a more elevated platform than that of the monkeys. The monkeys don't have to fly off to Bangkok, although they may be. The monkeys, sometimes they're captured in the jungles of Bangkok, of Thailand, and their genitals are cut off and put. They're given as an operation for someone whose genitals are worn out through overuse. You know that? Sometimes they do that. Frank Sinatra. He did it his way. He did it the monkey's way. He got worn out doing it the human way, so he did it the monkey's way. And he died recently, and people were lamenting. But why should they lament? He simply went to another body, and, you know, he didn't have enough strength to do it anymore his way. So he got, no doubt, was given the body of a monkey to do it that way. And this is material life. Simply 8,400,000 ways of trying to enjoy sex life, that's all. See, even the cockroaches. You have cockroaches here also, I've seen in this. By the benediction of the dogs, they can't sleep at night, so they don't want anyone else to sleep at night either. So when I was moving around at night, I saw so many cockroaches, small cockroaches. In India, we have nice big cockroaches. So you see them moving around at night also, and they're also enjoying sex life. You see, one cockroach will run a little distance, and the other one will run a little behind. And then the female will run again a little forward, and the male will run behind. Can I, can't I, can I, can't I? And Miss Cockroach is saying, come on, come on, come on. Then she's saying, no, no, no. Just the same as human. And then eventually, okay. So they're enjoying. And the cockroach is thinking, I mean, this Miss Cockroach, she's the most beautiful cockroach I ever saw. She's so beautiful. Look at those, that shiny brown back. And that pair of feelers, which is always going like this and inspiring the lusty desires. And such, I never saw such legs, these beautiful legs like this. So they're also enjoying. They're thinking, this is just like we have Miss Universe competition. So mostly the cockroaches are in the kitchen. So they have Miss Kitchen. Who's the most beautiful cockroach in this kitchen? And it's the same thing. They're enjoying life. Even you see the cows, bulls, the cow will come up and shake her head and the bull will, and then the bull will go wild. And it's the same thing. 8,400,000 ways. But Prahlad Maharaj says, now you've got the human form of life. Don't be a kripana, a rascal. Now you should engage in Krishna consciousness. Realize that human life is not meant simply for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now we should inquire into Brahman. Who is Krishna? Where is this sexual propensity coming from? Radha Krishna. That is the transcendental sex enjoyment. That is not the, that is not with so many inebrieties. That is simply on the pure platform of transcendental exchange. So why not become interested in this? If we become interested in Krishna, then we don't have to be degraded. Sex life is very degrading. You see even big intellectuals, they have big lofty philosophical ideas, but if they can't control their sexual desires, then they're dragged to the level of animals. You see this Bill Clinton, very respectable position, president of the United States, but he's being dragged down because he couldn't control his sexual desires. He's being embarrassed in front of the whole world. So you'll see, like, there's so many big philosophers. There was this, in the first part of this century, there was a famous British philosopher, Bertrand Russell. So he was a big atheist. And in those days, mostly people in Britain were God-fearing Christians, as they had been for hundreds of years. But he had the courage, his misplaced courage, to stand up and say, I don't believe in God. So it was a very revolutionary idea. So he had so many high ideas. He was a humanist. He doesn't believe in war. But in his private life, he was just having sex left, right, and center. So for all his high ideas, he was simply a dog, that's all. Just like in the 60s and 70s, there was so much fear of nuclear threat, nuclear war. So the slogan of the anti-nuclear movement in the Western country was, make love, not war. We don't want war. The American students, they didn't want to go to Vietnam. They want to live in peace. But why do they want peace? To make love, in other words, to have sex. Let us peacefully engage in sex life. But there's no peace in this material world. By indulging in illicit sex, then you make a chain of sinful reactions. In this area, they're trying to find some solution. Political solution to the war, which there's always one war after another. There's the Muslims and the Croatians fighting the Serbs. Sometimes the Muslims and Serbs fighting the Croatians. Then the Croatians and Serbs fighting the Muslims. Then the United Nations came and smashed them all. And now they got fed up of fighting there, so they're fighting somewhere else. Got fed up of killing them. And the people of the world are shocked. They're trying to find some solution. And there is no solution. As long as you go on engaging in illicit sex, animal slaughter, intoxication, there will be war. Prabhupada was preaching in America when he came to America, the anti-Vietnam War demonstrations were on. And the president of America was Lyndon Bernard Johnson, LBJ. His election slogan was, all the way with LBJ. Very deep. Very, very good reason to vote for him. So it was all the way to hell with LBJ. What was his profession? Just like Jimmy Carter later on was a peanut farmer. You see, it's a highly elevated people become the presidents of America. So previous to that, LBJ was a cattle rancher, and his pleasure was taking people to his ranch and slaughtering a cow and making a barbecue and or putting another of their, down in the deep south, Texas, another of their pastimes is getting a live pig and putting a steak through it and then roasting it alive on a fire. So if your leaders are sending animals by the thousands to the slaughterhouses. Prabhupada explained that as a sinful reaction, the whole generation of your youth will be sent to be slaughtered in Vietnam. So many young Americans. Why are we going to Vietnam? Mm-hmm. Where is Vietnam anyway? And we have to go thousands of miles to some jungle place. Really? We never heard of Vietnam before. All of a sudden we're fighting. What for? What are we fighting for? Yeah. And there was that song, "What are we fighting for?" Well, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Vietnam. Next stop is Vietnam. Yeah. There ain't no time to wonder why we're all going to die. Heard this song? It's from the 1960s. So we don't wonder why are we all going to die. You're shooting the cow. You'll be shot. This is material life. We're thinking it's very nice, very happy. Simply we have to suffer and die. We suffer very greatly. And when you see people, they can be so cruel. There's so many stories from Bosnia. And not only Bosnia, so many places. This people, they become mad with sinful desires. And in the war situation, they find they have guns. They can go into a village. The people have no protection. And they take great pleasure in torturing them and killing them in the most nasty, horrible way. How can people be so cruel? They're so sinful. They're taking pleasure in that because that's what they've been cultivating. They're mercilessly killing the animal. So their consciousness becomes so polluted. They can act in the most horrible ways. You must have heard so many stories. There are so many stories from Nazi Germany of how they tortured the Jews and the Gypsies. Very nasty, cruel ways. And then after the war, they would have a trial and they would get some Nazi officer. And they would find that before the war, he was just an ordinary, respectable person. He was an officer in a bank or something like this. Very mild person. This Pol Pot in Kampuchea, who makes Hitler look like a choir boy. He killed so many. He was responsible for killing so many people. But his relatives and the people in the village he came from said he was a very polite young man. But this polite young man later became the person who was responsible for killing at least 2 million people. See, even Hitler, in his day-to-day life, was said to be very polite and quite a cultured person. Among his associates, he was. He's very nice in his dealings. But look what he did. His name, Hitler. Such a fearful person. So these very strongly sinful desires are there. Really? Even sometimes people are surprised when we say demon. People who eat meat and engage in illicit sex, they're demons. You know, they're quite nice people. They smile and say, "Hello, how are you? Thank you very much." But actually, unless you become purified by Krishna consciousness, the most demoniac desires are there in the heart. And with a little opportunity, your ordinary nice person can become the most horrible, the most horrible things. You see, there are so many movies in which, what do they show in the movies? Mostly killing, sex and violence, rape, torture. If there's some film with a lot of rape and torture, it'll be a very good selling film. People will want to go and see it, isn't it? Why should people want to see such things? It means they within their heart, they have the perverted desire to do that themselves. They have the very sinful desires. And actually, many people do that. That they see all these things on TV and they do it themselves. They torture some animal, or they torture their children, or they rape their own children, or some very horrible things. Whoever imagined this child abuse? It's a very big problem in modern society. The people, they torture children or they sexually abuse them in so many horrible ways. Who could think of such a thing? Nakshatri Prabhu was telling me he's brought up in a very traditional family with his grandmother in the village. So did you have television in that? So could you imagine any such thing in such an atmosphere? The children, they were considered the treasures of their family. He didn't tell me this, but I know, because any traditional society will be like that. That they'll always be kissing them and showering affection on them. But in the modern society, it's so dangerous. The child is not even safe in their own home. They may be sexually abused even by their own father. So such a horrible society we're living in, in which they're simply promoting everything with sex, sex, sex. You may think, well, what's the problem? They're showing Coca-Cola with some beautiful girl, and everything, toothpaste, tires, everything. They're promoting sex, 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 sex. And simply people become crazy. The sexual desire becomes overly stimulated. So they want to enjoy in any kind of way. They have sex with one woman, another woman, another woman, and they think, there's no pleasure here. Let me try some child, or let me try a man, or anything. And they're frustrated, so then they want to become violent. And you'll find in the movies, sex and violence, these two things go together. So we find in the modern age people becoming worse than animals. Prabhupada said, a very strong statement, Prabhupada once said, that modern so-called civilized man is lower than the lowest animals. That's if you see, even the tigers and the lions, they protect their children. But in modern society, they're thinking, young child, no one can see me. The child cannot protest. Let me exploit. Such a horrible society we're living in. Mm-hmm. So Brahma, he is seeing what is the situation in this material world. That people are simply suffering and engaging in sinful activities which simply lead to more and more suffering because they are hatadhyā. This, in the next verse, is given the word hatadhyā. Means that their intelligence is spoiled. They don't think that I already tried to enjoy in so many lifetimes. I'm not enjoying, I'm simply suffering. So Brahma is very concerned to bring people to their proper position of Krishna consciousness. So devotees also, we should develop this consciousness. First of all, understand that material enjoyment is not at all enjoyment. First of all, we should understand that ourselves. That the only sane thing to do is to serve Krishna. And on top of that, we should see everyone in this world is victimized by sinful desires for sense gratification. And therefore do something to help them. This Krishna consciousness is very serious business. We have such responsible work to try to help those who are heading for hell. I'll just finish with telling one story of a dream one devotee had about Prabhupada. That he had been very critical of our own movement and saying this is wrong and that is wrong. So in a dream he found himself in front of Prabhupada. And he was saying, Prabhupada, in ISKCON there's this and there's that and there's something else. It's no good. And so Prabhupada just like revealed a vision to him. He showed how people are suffering in so many ways in the material world. So horrible situation. Then Prabhupada turned to him and said, just try to do something to help them. So there may be so many problems in our movement. We are living in the material world, trying to fight Maya, and Maya is very powerful. So we may have so many difficulties. But whatever our difficulties are, we have the holy names, we have Krishna, we have Prabhupada. So let us not be too much overwhelmed by our own seeming problems. Look at the problems everyone else has. Without knowing Krishna, people are simply making their way to hell. So let us try to do something to help them. Distribute Prabhupada's books. Give prasad. Preach. Try and bring people to Krishna. Hare Krishna. So any question, please?
You have a question. You're telling us about all these demonic features of the modern society, these sex advertisements and like this. So is there someone who is doing this intentionally? Are these things emphasized intentionally, or is there, a group of demons? Or if you understand me.
All right, say it in Serbian. Conspiracy theory.
Well,
is there a group of demons? Well, there's the advertising agency, the big businesses. There are some theories that there are a group of people who are deliberately misleading the world. I don't know. It doesn't make that much difference. Even if there are, what difference does it make to you and me?
Yes.
What are we going to do if there are? If we discover there are a group of people who are sitting together and discussing how we're going to make all the people go to hell. People are interested in profit. So they have a whole society based on profit. If you want to make profit, we have to sell more things. How we sell it, we'll promote that if you buy Pirelli tires, you'll become sexually attractive to
them.
So they're lusty themselves. So even if there is a group of such people, they're also victims of Maya. They also need preaching too. There's a Christian idea that there's Satan, that there's just one bad guy who's spoiling everything for everybody. But even if there's Satan, we're all victims and we're all perpetrators also. We're victimized by lusty desires because we want to be. Anything else? There's no, that's a non-question. There's no point in asking the question more. There's no such thing as being unhappy in Krishna consciousness. If you're Krishna conscious, you're happy. That's all. If you're in Maya, then you're unhappy. There's only two things. Of course, there's also unhappiness, just like the gopis feeling separation from Krishna. That is transcendental ecstasy. If you mean that I am a member of the Krishna consciousness, but I'm unhappy, that means we must be meditating on sense gratification, because this is the cause of unhappiness. Krishna consciousness automatically places one in transcendental bliss. That is described in the very beginning of the Nectar of Devotion. What are the six symptoms of pure devotional service? Who knows? Who can tell us? What are the six symptoms? You can say? No. That's not the Nectar of Devotion. That's the Nectar of Instruction. Well, that's two. There's six. Kleshagni, not Kleshagni. Kleshagni, Shubhadha. Then, what does it mean? Say it in Serbian. Did he say it right?
He said all the...
The first thing in pure devotion, if one takes up pure devotional service, is that his material miseries are destroyed. Then, Shubhadha means it bestows auspiciousness. Uksha laghutakrit. It makes the happiness of liberation seem very insignificant. Sudurlabha, it is rarely attained. You see, that's another reason for being more grateful. That out of the millions and billions and trillions and zillions of living entities, some few of us are lucky enough to be practicing Krishna consciousness. Sandrananda visheshatma, it gives tremendous spiritual bliss. Sri Krishna akarsha nichasa, pure devotional service is so powerful that it attracts Krishna, who himself is all attractive. So if we're in the Krishna conscious movement, we're not feeling happy, then we must be doing something wrong. It's a science. If you follow the process properly, then you'll be happy. Anyway, we're not pure devotees, so we're influenced by the lower modes of nature. But as stated here, we are filled with lamentation as long as we do not take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. So there may be difficulties. Don't mind me saying so, but mostly the young ladies who join our movement, they have some anxiety. They want to find a nice husband. That is the nature. They want some husband to protect them. So that may be a source of anxiety. I don't have any specific solution for that. I don't have any eligible husbands in my pocket here. But anyway, you can pray to Krishna to give you a nice husband also. I hope that answered your question. I don't know if it did, but maybe you're married already. I don't know. No, you're not. Be happy. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So you have to follow the orders of the Guru. Prabhupada said to be happy. So if you're not happy, you're not following Prabhupada's instruction. Okay. In our movement, it's against the rules to be unhappy. So you can dance in kirtan. It's pretty difficult to dance and be unhappy. We hear a lot of these days about counseling. Counseling devotees. Some kind of spiritual psychology session. Yeah. Something like that. Maybe you need counseling. The other thing is to fully engage in devotional service. If we're so busy that when we go to take rest, that we fall asleep within half a second of putting our head down, then if we're so busy, we don't have time to think whether we're happy or unhappy. Maybe you heard about Jayananda Prabhu. So Dhanavir Maharaj, who he's coming to Bosnia, and I don't know if he's in Croatia soon. Maybe is he coming here also? Well, maybe you get him over. He's always blissful. He's not nasty and mean like me. That's why you're unhappy. Because I'm giving all these nasty classes. So maybe that's one reason. Maybe when I go, you can be more happy. Anyway, she understands English. So he told me when he first came to the temple, he said, I have some questions. So if anyone had any questions, they always sent him to Jayananda. Because he knew everything. The other devotees were all new, and they didn't know how to preach to anybody. So he came and he said, I have some questions. You better go and see Jayananda. So where can I find him? Well, at this time, he'll be out the back taking out the garbage. He's the temple president. He was the temple president, but he insisted on taking out the garbage. If anyone else said, no, you shouldn't do it, he said, why are you trying to take away my service? I like taking out the garbage for Krishna. So Dhanavir Prabhu, or whatever, he was Bhakta something, not even Bhakta, he was from the university student, came out the back and saw Jayananda taking out the garbage. And he looked so blissful. So Dhanavir Maharaj, and he forgot all his other questions. He just said, how are you so happy? He said, I don't know. I don't have time to think about it. Why don't you help me take out this garbage? So like this, he was always immediately engaging everyone in service. Then it became blissful. So why not have more service and think that, well, now I have to distribute books. Well, I may be miserable. That's my misfortune. But anyway, still I have to distribute the books because people are going to hell. Let me do something to try to help them. And then we can pray to Krishna, Krishna, please help me to distribute these books. And if we think about that, if we think about the welfare of others, then we stop thinking about ourselves and how happy or unhappy I am. That doesn't become our criteria. We simply think how to serve Guru and Krishna to help others. Whether I'm happy or not, that doesn't matter. If you think like that, then you become more blissful than anyone can imagine. But if we're thinking how I should be happy, actually we'll never be happy. Happiness only comes when we stop thinking about trying to be happy and we just try to think how Krishna will be happy with my service. Okay, last question. I don't know what the situation is. Probably you can tell me better than I can tell you. Depends on local laws and so many different things. The internet means you can make your web page and do it. And already so many devotees are doing it. There's plenty of opportunities to preach if we want to preach. TV preaching is effective if we get the opportunity. I would think in this country there are limited opportunities in that way, isn't it?
Very.
Do you get Croatian TV here also?
No.
Why, do they block it out or what? Only or just doesn't come this far?
Only if you have satellite TV. That we can.
You don't have local Serbian TV?
Yes, we do.
But doesn't, how come the Croatian TV doesn't reach to here?
I don't know.
Only to the border area, is it? They don't watch it, I see. They're so anti-Croatian. Because there's quite a lot of TV preaching in Croatia. Some national company did something about our Janmashtami program. Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. All goes to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai. He's going to engage Srila Bhakti.